This is On the Mark, and I am pleased to be joined by the Hall of Famer, the Super Bowl champion, the seven-time Pro Bowler, Warren Sapp, who is coming to town to talk about something that's extremely important and is on his heart, CTE, and his experience that you're having now, Warren, at 44 years old. First of all, thanks for taking time today. And when did you? I know recently you said you're going to donate your brain once you pass on. When did you start to realize that this is something you wanted to get involved in?
A couple of years ago, when Chris first walked up to me at a Super Bowl, and he was, you know, telling me this, that, and whatever, and what he had found, and how he, you know, was a wrestler and everything that he went through, and he was giving me his story. And I'm looking at him sideways like most people do, you know, because I've had those same conversations with Derek Brooks and the John Lynch's and some of my ex-teammates, and they look at me all sideways too. So when I just got into it, and then I was at home one day, and I got an email from Fred Willis, who's a former player running back with the Houston, you know, Oilers back in the day. And it was a list of all the owners, the commissioner, and I was just reading the comments that they were making, and one of them said, you have just as much chance of sitting on your couch of getting CTE as playing in the National Football League. And it struck me as absolutely dumbfounding that, wait a minute, where are you getting this information? Now, I know my 13 years in the National Football League was spent on a rheumatologist doing the concussion board who believe that back-to-back concussions have no lasting effect. You can get a concussion at 9 a.m. and I'll see you back at 12 to, you know, do more work. I mean, he actually wrote this in a medical journal, and I'm like, there's no way we're about to walk around in the most popular sport in the world, the most skill-driven sport, and we're going to walk around with Neanderthal thoughts about medicine? No. And that was the end for me.
And you're going to be on a panel with a former Chicago Bear, won a Super Bowl, Otis Wilson. You're going to have a neuropathologist on there as well. Five of you are coming to Chicago to speak on this. And it's interesting to me, too. You're teaming up with Brigadier General Donald Bolduc, too, who himself is suffering from CTE and PTSD. So this is something that's not just going on in football, obviously. It's affecting a lot of the people that are protecting the country and are in our military. How did that partnership come to be?
I mean, it was just a natural thing for me. I mean, I spent so many years down in Tampa with sitcom, and General Francis comes see us all the time, and I love the military because there's nothing like a man that stands opposed and say, not on my watch. And those are the true heroes, because I try to tell all my football players, all my brethren, the young fellas, I said, fellas, we're not warriors. We're not warriors. We're not any of that. We go on a road trip, and the shitty kicker missed a 32-yard field goal. He's coming back. His wife and children are expecting him, and we got to put him back on the plane and bring him back no matter how mad we are with him. The boys don't always come back from the trip when they go in the military. But that's what I wanted to know. I mean, come on. Those are the true heroes. Now, our Sunday entertainers, we can take better care of ourselves, and we can take better care from the top to the bottom, and we need to make these steps. So that's why I'm out, so we can make an awareness, get people to look up, pay attention, get better diagnostics, get better treatment, and bring awareness to it, because the denial ain't going to work. I mean, the big tobacco scheme ain't going to work. That's not it. No.
Yeah, but see, you're in the Hall of Fame, Warren, for you had incredible talent, but you were a physical, I mean, kick somebody's ass guy every single Sunday and Saturdays at the U. So you couldn't have been thinking about this back then. Like, what was your mindset around, well, I'm playing this game, I'm having the time?
Oh, I mean, listen, I played the game. I like to say I played the game that your grandma, if she was watching me, she'd like it because I was enjoying myself. I played the game with a smile on my face. Now, some of the hits that I put on people, well, I'm sure it made you cringe at some point. But that's the game that I was taught. That's the game that I knew and loved. But that's why we got to evolve and make it better. And we've taken certain steps. There's no more month-long training camps where we're sitting there banging the hell out of each other with two-a-days and pads all day long. And sometimes with Ray Perkins, three-a-days. I mean, it was a strange thing that we did. It was about who was tougher. If you've ever been around an NFL training camp in the 90s, it was about who was tougher. And we were going to find out. In a month's training camp, hitting each other. That's why we couldn't wait to play a preseason game or see a team with another fella. But we were dying to hit somebody else than our own teammates.
See, I sit with the Hall of Famer Dan Hampton doing a Bears postgame show, Warren, and he'll complain about the game today, saying guys don't practice, they don't tackle the way we used to, and the game is suffering from it. So it's you're on one side, and even some of your guys that have been in the trenches with you and have the coat on in Canton, they're not. Some of them are with you, and some of them aren't. Do you have those discussions?
You know what? I hear those discussions, and I. But that ain't what we're talking about in the CTE. We're talking about taking the 14 and under out of it. See, now. Because when we sit in Canton, I know we're not talking about Pop Warner Championship.
Yeah.
I know we're not talking about 11-year-old rushing titles. I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to eliminate and see if we can get the way we're getting our children involved in the chess, tennis. That's why we only have Venus and Serena, because we've never exposed any of our children to tennis except Venus and Serena. That's why we only have one Tiger Woods, because we only exposed our one child to a country club every day where dad was coming to pick him up, playing golf and doing the things he needed to do. We need to expose our children, because I heard about the children in Brooklyn that they exposed to the chess club and they wouldn't want a championship. I heard about Buddy went in the backwoods of Mississippi and got him playing chess and doing wonderful things. I mean, we have to expose our children something other than football on Saturday afternoon, Pop Warner, Optimus, all of this craziness that I'm looking at. Because I'm in Florida and that's what we do. It's unbelievable the Saturday afternoon battles that take place between 7 and 13-year-olds. It's unbelievable.
So now I love this conversation, Warren. Now you're talking about resources and making the world a better place for everybody. And we got a long way to go.
That's it. I mean, because when I got in this game, I said, when I leave it, I will leave it in better shape than I got into it. And this is what I'm after, because this means something.
I love it. So then, okay, so a mom comes up to you, a dad comes up to you. Hey, Warren, should my kid play football? What do you tell him?
Not till he's 14. We do the bar mitzvah at 13. We baptize him in the Southern Baptist at 13. They're ready to go at 14. Anything under that, they're not ready.
So you'd have them playing everything else, and
listen to the brain. Don't listen to me. I'm just a defensive tackle, three technique extraordinaire. But I listen to the brain doctor. Your connectors in your brain is developing up into the age of 14. And when everything is connected and ready to go, now you can go out and go play this game that we know and love and understand what it is. You don't need to go out and hit to know how to play football. That's what we're not doing in the game. Now Dan Hampton is missing it, because nobody comes to OTA. Nobody trains together as a team. Everybody goes to their little corners over here with this speed guy, that speed guy. That's why we have a lot of injuries, because when they get to playing football, you have to go where that ball is. And that ball don't go on a straight line. You got to adjust to it. And now you're no longer running straight lines. You're twisting and bending, and that's why we have hips, knees, tendons, because they're running from A to B and back to A. Those are straight line training they're doing. They're not actually going and saying, all right, we're going to get the tight end and the linebackers. We're going to do one-on-one. We're going to take care of each other. Ain't no tackling. I'm not going to take you down. We're just going to work on what you got to work on. That's the game itself. And that's what's missing. We used to sit over there from 8 to 12 every time in the offseason. It was our duty, because that was the only way we were going to get better, is by actually going out and doing the things you have to do on a Sunday afternoon. And we work our butt off, and then we break and go get the keys and go do whatever we do. But you got to put that work in. Nobody sits at these facilities anymore, and they got beautiful places. I go to one bucket, it's 100,000 square. They even built a lightning dome for them, and it's empty. They got a pool table, video games, food, a chef, everything you could possibly want. I'm like, we had food up against the wall up in here with a little pressure. We were making Cuban sandwiches and bologna and cheese, and we were living in this place. They got beautiful facilities, and no one goes to them anymore.
See, I love myself some flag football or some touch football, but then people call me soft, Warren.
No, don't be soft. Save the children. Allow them, make them understand the game without the physicality of the game. Because once the physicality of the game comes, you get weeded out real fast.
Should they go?
We do that real fast. Either you like it or you do not. It don't suffer you. I guarantee you.
Should they?
I didn't allow my son to play. Warren Sapp II, who's 6'1", 220 pounds with a V Asian arms, like, ooh, the boy's impressive. He's nice. If I do say so myself. And I didn't put him in a football uniform until he walked in the house at 14 and said, I want to play football. I said, you don't want to be the power hitting first baseman that play excellent defense? I want to play football. All righty, let's go. I mean, it comes a time when they will let you know what they want to do. And for me, that's what I wanted from him, was to know that this is something that he wanted. I mean, I think too many of us live in our dreams that we didn't make it through our children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Didn't you hit like 24 homers in high school, by the way?
You see it?
I do,
of course. You see that guy that grabs that trophy and runs to work and, oh, look what we won. What? Come on, man.
These
videos of these little kids hitting the other little kid because the other little kid, you just told him to run straight and he just ran straight. Oh, my God. Come on. We got to stop this. I heard an Oklahoma drill the other day. Somebody said, yeah, an Oklahoma drill. I'm like, is that still a thing? I mean, unbelievable. The Oklahoma, is that still a thing?
Ugh. The state of
two men to lay on their back on the ground, roll over, and see who gets up first, and then hit the other. Unbelievable.
Yeah, the state of Oklahoma should be asking, "Hey, don't name that drill after our state. We're not about that anymore."
Hey. That drill ain't very bright. And I'm not gonna say about Oklahoma. Good place, good heartland.
There you go.
They're not the sharpest knife in the drawer, though.
Well said. Let's talk about what's going on in the league right now. It seems like, you know, the plan at the moment from the commissioner to the players is to, I guess, get some form of cooperation on social activism and we'll give you this, and then you guys will all stand for the anthem and we'll show some unity.
What are we getting?
Well, so that.
What are we getting?
See, I think there's an opportunity. Right. Okay. So that's the question. Then, what do you think the players should be asking for?
You know, I hear the talk, and I hear this ain't the right time. But when is the right time to talk about Tamir Rice being shot in 1.2 seconds with a toy gun? When is the right time to talk about that? When's the right time to talk about Eric Garner being choked out for loose cigarettes? When? I just want to know. Because when Martin Luther King and then was walking across the Edmund Pettus Bridge that Sunday morning, that wasn't the right time either. That became Bloody Sunday. So when is the right time?
We all know there is no right time. And people don't want to be uncomfortable and have uncomfortable conversations.
It's supposed to make you uncomfortable.
Exactly.
When you're talking about something that's making others uncomfortable. But I understand what they're talking about for the national anthem, because at that moment, on a Sunday afternoon, when the quarterback's the target, I ain't thinking about social injustice. I'm thinking about getting on his ass. That's just me. That's why I woke up on a Sunday afternoon. And then we'll talk about this after the game and on Monday and the rest of the week. I mean, that's just me, because I really value my profession, and I love the thing that I did on Sunday, and I worked all week to go display it. And I got a crowd full of people. Oh, I'm finna show it off. I mean, I got plenty of time, and I will talk about it at every chance I get. But right now, when we playing for this 2 minutes and 6 seconds, 2 minutes and 2 seconds, and that's what, let's get it on. Because, hey, it sent chills down my spine just to talk to you about it right now, because I'm thinking the game about to start, just thinking about the anthem playing, because somebody finna kick it off. That's always been my trigger. They play the music, they kick it off, somebody's going to get their butt whooped. So, let's go.
So, listen, I love that right there. That's just awesome, the way you were kind of digesting the anthem and getting ready to play. And I think everybody in their own way loves the red, white, and blue, but the thing that everybody else loves, too, is the green. And if the NFL... You know, players are going to want to step up, but they're also not going to want to lose their game checks either. So Goodell.
Listen, ain't no way you asking me to sacrifice my check and my platform. I won't be able to talk about anything.
Right. So
Colin Kaepernick, for all the wonderful things he did, he had to understand that when your talent and the stuff you bring, you're gone. That's the ultimate rule in any organization. No matter where you at.
Right. The elite of the elite can, but...
Harvey Weinstein sat there for as long as he could until the storm came, right? Roger Hill sat there as long as he could until the storm came. When the storm come for you, there ain't no too powerful. You're going. And it was a horrible man, what they did. And Colin ain't did nothing like that. He just going about a social injustice. So, hey, it's always a better way to do it.
So,
but the way he did it was his way to do it, and now we're talking about it. So, hey, let's take a step forward and make it better. That's what we're talking about.
So if Roger came to you, Goodell, and came to you and said, hey, Warren, look, we know that you guys want, you want your money in your wallet, and we know that you also want to get your voice out there, and we want to, you know, have, we certainly want to have all the sponsors we possibly can have from the NFL. Like, what would your solution be to Goodell if he came to Warren Sapp and asked him, hey, how would you proceed from here?
Go sit with the people who are having the conversation. Go sit with your players. Go sit with the leadership and find out what it's going to take, because we all got to sit in this puddle. And why make it a puddle of doo-doo?
Right. Well, they weren't proactive about this, were they?
No, they shot $7 million to Sean. They weren't paying attention.
You're gonna be Warren. You're the best. You're gonna be in Chicago for Chicago Ideas Week coming up here on a panel talking about CTE. Let me talk real quick before you go on the field. Is Kansas City the best team in the NFL?
Your record is what you are. Who said that? The great Dwayne Parcells, my classmate in 2013 Hall of Fame. Yeah, they are.
Okay. And is the Packers defense good enough to get them back to the Super Bowl, or is Aaron Rodgers going to come up short again?
Listen, the old adage of a defense win championship is dead. Defense gives you a chance, and your offense will win it for you. And with that quarterback, I ain't betting against him. That boy's special. Holy Toledo.
Right? Is he the best of all time in your mind?
When you got a quarterback that's in overtime that knows I haven't won a game in overtime and I want this off my resume, that's who I want in my huddle. That's who I want every time going to war with me.
Do you think he's the best ever?
Nah, Brady. 5 championships. Period.
Okay. The numbers
Aaron Rodgers gonna put on are gonna be ridiculous.
Yeah, just,
but we don't measure quarterback by championship. That's it. You win all the regular season games you want, Tony Romo. You win all the playoff games you want. Not win Danny White. You know what I'm saying? That's what it comes down to. If Danny White wins any of those playoff games, he's not an afterthought in the Cowboy legacy of quarterback.
Right, but you can't do it alone. Like, how many Super Bowl rings would Warren Sapp have if you had a quarterback, an elite quarterback playing with you down in Tampa?
Hey, I got my one, baby. I enjoyed my days with Kelly Holcomb and Steve Walsh and, you know, my Trent Dilfer, my Musi Asitovo and Aaron Brooks. You know, I have my fun with my quarterbacks, man. You got to make it win, man. That's why my championship feels so great when we talk about it.
I like that reframe. Who was the number one QB you wanted to take down? Who was just felt so good when you got there?
The next one. You know, I got a problem with quarterbacks. They like chicken. They don't taste the same. I want the next one. But I can't get my chance anymore, so I got to let it go.
Is that barbecue?
No, I'm at the falafel spot right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to get me a nice combo platter with all the meat and rice you can give me without getting in trouble.
Okay. Hey, Warren, appreciate the time. Great to talk to you.
Always, my man. Be good.
All right. That was Warren Sapp, the one and only, and a lot of great stuff there on the field, off the field, and what he's doing to try to make the game safer, and whether or not your kids should play football. Hope you enjoyed the conversation.